Good evening, everybody. Welcome back. Beginning of a new season. A new Machzor of the Torah. We're all a little hoarse from Simchat Torah. Start Parashah Bereshit. As many of you know, one of my all-time favorites. So you're allowed to have a favorite. So many lessons to learn. So many basic principles of life. All in Parashat Bereshit. This week's class is dedicated in honor of Reggie Bailey on the occasion of her anniversary by her husband, Irwin. We thank them for their support. May they have many more happy, healthy years together. We also like to announce on a regular basis that although the tapes are free, they do cost money. And the people who sponsor are the ones you owe a debt of gratitude to. If you'd like to join that club, which is a little too exclusive for my taste, so we wish we had a broader base of sponsors, you dial 718-375-1023 in Brooklyn, 375-1023. Ask for Rico and he'll tell you how it works. Good omen. We hope that this is the beginning of a very good year. We begin Bereshit, Bara Elohim et Hashamayim ve'et Ha'aretz. Tonight, I thought I could be cute, I could be funny, you haven't seen me for a couple of weeks, tell a few stories, get away with it, and I ended up getting into a very, very deep inyan, a very deep subject, having to do with the sin of Adam HaRishon. And we have to understand as we go through, especially Sefer Bereshit, Bamidbar, but they have the stories of many miscues, what we call transgressions, sins, mistakes, tests on the parts of the people. So we have to understand that Torah is not telling us these incidents, I don't call them stories because they're true, these historical facts to interest us or to fill us in on what happened many years ago in a place far away. The Torah tells us in order to teach, and that's what the word Torah means, more, mora, teacher. And we have to learn and adopt behavior from the lessons. So let's look at this Chet Adam HaRishon, the sin of the first man. I think if we work really hard in the next hour or so, we can maybe scratch the surface and understand maybe one of the many, many multifaceted aspects of this subject. First of all, who was Adam? Okay, great, you're very smart, the first man. Very good. The first human being was Adam HaRishon, that's why he's called the first. But that's not what I mean. Who was he? What was he like? If Hashem asked him, Ayeka, where are you holding? What is your madrega? What is your level? What would we answer? How would we describe him? Well, we have Midrash, we have Gemara, we have other places. And unlike many of the concepts, which is why I don't like movies, television, radio, and other secular approaches to stories of Tanakh, because they have the wrong outlook. Rather than being a caveman or a primitive person, we have to understand he was the most perfect of human beings at formation because Hashem formed him. He wasn't born of a woman. And he was very kadosh, very holy. The intention was for him to live his life, perfect creation, and bring it to its ultimate conclusion in one lifetime. He lived 930 years. 130 in Teshuvah over the sin. It says that his heels, the heels of his foot, which I guess symbolically means the lowest part of his body, was so bright, even after he died, that they were brighter than two balls of the sun from the Kiddushah that he had. And the knowledge that he had. It says, Kodem Ahed, before the Het, Adam HaRishon used to reach min ha'aretz ad harakia, from the ground to the heavens, umisof ha'alam ad sofo, Gemara Chagiga, from one end of the world to the other. In other words, he encompassed all of creation. The angels, when they saw him, mistook him for a deity.
and wanted to say Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh to him. That's in Bereshit Rabbah, Midrash. So we see many, many places, and there are many more, which describe him as an ultimately beautiful superhuman being. So much so that the angels mistook him for a god. So that's who we're speaking about. Not a simpleton or somebody who could be easily fooled by any means. And not only that, but we have to understand, if we're going to understand the sin, what was his bechira like? What choice did he have before the sin? Because his madrega, his level of free will, as we call it, was very different than ours, because before the sin, things were very different. Haramban Nachmanides says, Hadam haya ose b'tiv'o ma sh'ra'ui la'asot kifi ha'toledot. Ka'ashesu ha'shamayim v'chose ra'am. When Hashem created Adam, this is an amazing concept. It's in the Ramban, right on the Chumash, Perek Bet, Pasuk Tet. He says that his response to things was positive and good naturally. He did what he was supposed to, almost on autopilot, cruise control. So how is it possible, if that's true, which it is, please close that door. How is it possible for him to sin if he really didn't have a yetzara inside him and he really didn't have a concept of what evil was? Well, Nefesh HaChaim is a famous sefer written by Rav Chaim Volozhin, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And he says very clearly, Kodem Achet, Haya Baal Bechira Gamur. He was someone who had free will, this Adam. And he was also one who had free will after the sin. Before, he was perfectly straight. Yashar, he calls him, Yashar Legamre. And all he had in him was Kiddushah. And everything that he did was tov gamur, perfectly good. Without any leanings, netiyah he calls it, to the other side. And anything that was evil in the world was outside of Adam, it was separate from him. For him to enter the realm of evil was like for an intelligent human being to jump into a furnace. He saw the truth of what would happen and he chose not to do it. That's true. You choose not to jump in front of a speeding car, but you choose it because you're so sure of what's going to happen and its detrimental effect on you that you don't do it. That's how Adam was before the sin. So was there a choice? Yes, but he was almost so automatically programmed, or he understood so well what was right, and he was so straight, he couldn't do it. He chose not to do what was bad. So says Nefesh HaChaim, Lachen, Kishiratza Sitra Achara Lahati'o, when the other side, the side of Tum'ah, of impurity, wanted to make him sin, Hutzrach HaNachash Lavomi Bachutz Lefatot, an outside external force called the snake had to come to seduce him. Lo Kemoshu Ata, not like now. Now things are different. Now things are very different. Because now, Hayetz Nifadeh Adam, Bubetoch Adam, we have the ta'ava, the desires, the evil inclination in ourselves. And in fact, when the evil inclination wants something, we sometimes say, I want. Because we can't distinguish between him conning us, seducing us, and fooling us, and what we would really like. Today, when the Yetzirah comes, he wants you to eat the wrong food. He convinces you that you want it,
and you say, I want that. I can't help myself. If somebody is attracted to someone of the opposite gender in an immoral way, they say, that's what I want, that's what I desire. We're not able to separate from ourselves this concept of yetzer hara, evil inclination, and say, it's a force acting on me, and that's the definition, a force acting on me to behave in a way negative to the will of Hashem. The Yetzer HaTov also, in today's world, speaks to us in a strange language. What does he say? You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't eat that. You should get up in the morning and do what you're supposed to. So basically, it's like someone else talking to us. So what am I saying at this point? Up to this point, we have an Adam who's perfect. We have an Adam who is very righteous and very straight and very holy. And we have some external power in the world that's able to convince and seduce. But it couldn't, at that point in history, before the first sin, get man to say, I would like this or that, which Hashem didn't want him to have. Because for him to want to do or to desire something Hashem told him he should not have was impossible. Like telling a person, would you like to jump into a fiery furnace? I don't think so. Not today. Can I come back tomorrow? I'll think about it. I'll be back. Like you tell the man in the store. I'll be back. How much is that dress? Oh, about $18,000. Oh, I'd like it, but I'll be back. I want to check my shoes, see if they match. And you walk out. You don't intend. Why? Because you can't. You can't. So the question now becomes, how can this yetzer, this evil inclination, this nachash, this snake, get him to do it? Now, before we continue, I just want you to know the Nefesh HaChaim of Chaim V'Lajin does add in a little footnote that in the sin, nit'arevu kocho tara betocho mamash, inside of man and in the olamot and in the worlds Hashem created, became a mixture of evil and good. It's hard to distinguish what's right and wrong. And he says that's et hada'at tovara. That's what it means, the tree that is the knowledge of good and evil. That good and evil were mixed at that point into, I guess, soup. It just wasn't separate anymore. Because mikodem cheto, before he had a sin, he was a person of free will and choice. But he was able to see all good or all bad and make the choice. But once he ate from the tree, everything got mixed up. Okay, so now that it's pretty deep to this point. We spent about 15 minutes on subjects you could spend 15 hours on. And basically all we said to now is, we have a little problem with Adam's sin. Adam is described to us as a perfect, wonderful, holy, righteous, straight human being who has no evil inclination inside of himself. So therefore, he has no desires other than what Hashem wants him to do. And for him to do a sin is like a person jumping into a fire, which a person won't do because they know it's damaging. And he saw so clearly it was damaging. And there was this force in the world called the Yetzer Hara that's able to con and trick and fool. But how is it going to do it to Adam? That becomes our question. How could Adam sin? Well, choice is a funny thing. Free will. Do you know that you have free will? You do. Okay. Do you know you have free will? He calls you up, I want to go out. You tell him yes, you tell him. You have free will, right? You could decide, no matter what your mother tells you. Your free will is inhibited by your mother, but she can't make you do it, right? You have free will. You have free will? Okay. Do you know that nobody's free will is the same?
Hashem gave you free will so you could earn reward. But he did something that most people don't realize. Your free will is on a sliding scale. It doesn't stand still. Meaning as follows. There are certain people who no matter what you do, there is no way on earth they will eat something not kosher. It's just they were brought up that way, or they believe that way, or not kosher is not in the cards. Yet, when it comes to some laws of Shabbat, that same person may be a little lenient, or maybe tziniut, or maybe some other law, lashon hara, they have a problem. But when it comes to eating not kosher, yashan and chalav Israel, and they got all the stringencies, they won't touch a thing, they go to a party, they don't eat anybody's house, they have trouble eating home. Even if they cooked it themselves. I don't know, processed food. I don't know. Maybe I should become a farmer and grow my own vegetables. And then I got to watch out for the bugs. But that person will never be tested by Hashem on Kashrut. I may not say never, but Hashem doesn't look for that. Where does he test that person? Lashon Hara. Did you hear about what? Huh? The ears pop up. The person's into it. Oh, that's all you heard. You know what I heard? Like you stop playing, you top this, and each one's adding to the Lashon Hara, and you're rolling. That's the same person, won't eat anything else. Why is Hashem test them there? Because over there, there's a possibility they'll fail or succeed. And that's where free will can be exercised. A person will not jump into a fiery furnace unless they have a certain type of insanity, which I am not able to diagnose. But a fiery furnace, a speeding car in Ocean Park, you're not going to walk in front of it because you know that the results are negative. So a person who feels a sin will have a negative will not enter that area. That realm is not an area of testing. And it's not an area of bechira, of free will. Everyone has different bechira points. And if you pass the test or get stronger, let's say you get stronger in shiniyot. Start working on your shiniyot, and now what you used to wear, you don't wear. You go up the ladder, you know, there's still more things you don't do, but the other things that you do, it's not a choice anymore. You just can't do it anymore. You just can't do it anymore. And if you can't do it anymore, Hashem says, okay, you can't do it anymore. Let's go find something else to test her with. Honesty. Hashanah, Shabbat. Something else. Because once you pass that Bechira point, it's not a point for testing anymore. We go to the next point. In fact, within the same laws, let's say somebody is growing, and I'll stick to siniyut. They're growing in siniyut. And at one time, it was bikinis and sleeveless and midriffs and the whole thing. And then they cut out certain things. They're not covering their hair, they're not in wigs and skirts yet, and then high necklines, but they cut out that stuff. The next step is your test. But that person, trust me, I know many people, who one time in their life could sit on the beach in a bikini wanting everybody to look at them, and now they can't even think of anybody looking at them. And it's a world of difference. So now if somebody would say, here, I gained a little weight, or I'm having a baby, here's my old bikini. Wah! It's like you're giving them the plague. But that bathing suit was $1,200. No, I don't want it. I can't wear it. It's not a bikini anymore. Got the point? So now, at every change in a person, at every mindset, I got to realize their point of choice changes. Did I get that across to everybody? I mean, the examples are good. You understand? Good. Adam was told, "Don't eat from the tree." What kind of tree is that? It's the tree of Da'at Tov V'Ra, the tree of knowing good and evil. What was he told to do? One mitzvah. Here's where your choice is. Don't get to know bad. You're a straight, righteous person. You only have one thing in your life. Good. Holiness. Purity. Don't find out about evil. See, here's your test, if you can maintain your excellence. You're a great person. Stay there. That's his mitzvah. I'm putting you in Gan Eden. I'm giving you angels.
I'm giving you everything you need to eat. I'm giving you the whole world to serve you. You're a kadosh person. Maintain it. There's one thing I don't want you to see that in the middle of the garden. See this thing here, right here? This is the tree. It's right in the middle of the garden. Don't eat from that because that's da'at tovara. And if he had kept that one mitzvah, which he didn't keep for more than a few hours, it's the first day that this happened. It was a Friday, the day he was created. He ate from the tree. But if he had kept it, the world would have been perfected. Whatever Hashem expected human beings to accomplish in these 6,000 years would have been accomplished on that day, and everything would have come to its ultimate conclusion, and we'd find out what comes after the movie. But Adam had a problem. He was so good, so wise, so holy, so perfect, so much interested in making the world better to its highest level, he got an idea. Dum, da, dum, dum, danger. Instead of just being what Hashem wanted him to be, he infused some of himself in the picture. He had an idea. If in my perfect, beautiful, wonderful state, that's my Gemara Torah, if in my perfect, wonderful, holy state, I could make a Kiddush Hashem by overcoming Ra, imagine if I went into the realm of wickedness and evil, and I still followed what Hashem wanted. What a great Kiddush Hashem that would be of a higher level. He felt that based on what I have, the way Hashem created me, based on the Gan Eden he put me in, and the angels he gave to serve me, and the heavenly assistance I have in living my life, maybe I could do more. He thought, says Rabbi Dessler, "Sha'al yado yuchal laskir v'liskot l'giluyim hadashim v'niflaim ad ein ketz." He imagined that he could reach and understand and uncover the secrets of creation to a limitless potential. He was going to do an avera l'shem shamayim. He was going to do a sin for the sake of heaven. And the Arizal says that was his test. He wanted to be a creator of a higher level of existence, fighting a bigger battle against a greater enemy. This time of year, it's like easy to explain. You go into the pennant race, you finish in the playoffs. You play the first round, you go up against a tougher enemy. There's more viewers and more people interested, and it's greater excitement. And you go into the finals and you win your division or your pennant or whatever it is. And then you go into the World Series. The games in the World Series are worth a lot more. And if you win that, isn't that a greater battle than the game you played in July against just any team, you know, on a Sunday afternoon or a Tuesday night? He thought he could raise the level of his battle to the World Series. Love to you. So he figured, I'll take from that tree, I'll taste a little evil. Now the difference in good and evil, good is seeing Hashem clearly and understanding everything perfectly clearly as his ratzon and his will. And evil is being blocked and living in the dark, away from Hashem and his will. That's a simple explanation of both. He figured, I could dim the light a little bit, and still bring light and see clearly by working harder and using my talents to the ultimate. And wouldn't that be a great Kiddush Hashem? What do you think? You vote yes? You vote yes? Sounds like a great plan. What's his mistake? There's no such thing as a little bed. No. There's no such thing as a little rock. He didn't realize darkness, Choshech, Sheker, all the words we use for bad, darkness, lie, untruth, Tum'ah, a little bit, no such thing. If you're affected by it, it's almost insurmountable. I'm sure how dangerous it is in a couple of minutes. You see, he was like a little boy who doesn't know what fire is. And when mommy says, don't touch it, it looks pretty. And mommy cooks with it. And she makes my oatmeal meal with it. And she heats up my bati. And everything seems so nice. So how bad could it be? So he touches it in spite of the fact he doesn't understand what a burn is. The malachim, when they complained to Hashem, why are you giving them the Torah? They said, Ma dam ki tizkerenu. What is the person? What are people? Why are you giving them the Torah? Who are they? They didn't understand what it means to have free will and to pass a test, how great that is. Because they weren't tested. They're on autopilot. I'm an angel. I do exactly what I'm told to do. I operate only one way. I don't conceive of anybody not doing what Hashem wants. Hashem says that's what we do. So when you're not familiar with something, you underestimate its power. Or you don't even understand its power. So Adam HaRishon, who had no evil in him, thought there's such a thing as a little. So I'll play with it a little. I won't turn off the lights into darkness. I'll dim the lights. I'll overcome that situation and make a great Kiddush Hashem. You did it, L'shem Shamayim. It was a sin in mitzvah's clothing. And that they say, but they a wolf in sheep's clothing, right? So it was a sin in mitzvah clothing. But it was a con. And with all his wisdom, Adam HaRishon fell. And now comes, I don't know what the big prize on TV is anymore. You know, my day was $64,000. You can't even get a car for that anymore. Especially in this neighborhood. But whatever the big prize is, here comes the big question. If Adam before the sin was perfectly straight and righteous, without any darkness, he understood. He knew Hashem created him. He knew what Hashem told him. How is it possible for him to be fooled and make this mistake? He saw everything clearly. We described in the beginning of the class, before some of you were here, amazing person. Well, the answer is, says the Mishtam Eliyahu, is that he has two dimensions. One dimension that a person or a creation has has certain sense of self. In other words, let's say everything is Hashem. It's hard to understand that. Because I'm me and I'm not him. And I see this building. I don't think this building is him. And I see the sun. I don't think the sun is him. And yet we say, Efe Zulato, there's nothing but him. En Om Levado, there's nothing besides him. A lot of places we see Pesukim and we see comments from Chazal. There's none of that. So what is it? Well, it seems like if you're a creation, you have a sense of self. Separateness from Hashem, even though you're part of Hashem. Because nothing, everything's in Hashem. That's why he's called Baruch HaMakom. Remember, you know, Pesach, Baruch HaMakom? Why is Hashem called the Makom? Because he's the place in which everything else exists. So everything is really part of him. But once you're a creation, you get that sense of self and a little bit of what they call ego, anochiyut, that I do have powers and thoughts of my own. Is this stuff too deep for you tonight, or should I tell stories about Rav Etchem? Are you like, okay. And there's another dimension, very important dimension that a human being has and that all of you know, because every time I tell somebody to do something, they tell me I'm not at that level. Are you at that level yet? You're not at that level yet. Okay. Man can change his levels. A horse is a horse. An angel is an angel.
a star is a star. All the things Hashem creates, that's how they are. Man and woman, upsy downs, the roller coaster ride. One day I'm good, one day I'm not so good. I work so hard on myself, I grow, and then I fall. Man has got his feet on the ground and his head in the sky. He's a neshama from heaven, and his name is Adam because his body is made from the mud. We have the highest, most beautiful ideas and the lowest perversions. That's a human being. And all the elevator stops in between. We're a local. You don't get on and go to 450. You got to go one by one, up and down. Now this knowledge alone that we're capable of growth and failure, ups and downs, is enough to make us susceptible to a test. In fact, Adam was so aware of this part of himself, he was the first one to invoke the rule, Aseh Siyag LaTorah. Make a Drabanan. You know what Drabanan is? When the rabbis make something up that we're not allowed to do to protect us from violating something else in most cases. So when you might do something wrong with something on Shabbat, they tell you you can't touch it or move it. You can't move it because if you move it, you might use it. And if you use it, you'll do a melchala. Therefore, we have mukseh. It's a Drabanan. You're not allowed to do something because. And why is it there? To protect us. It's a fence. So now Hashem tells Adam, don't eat from those who came late. That's the tree right there. Don't eat from this tree. This one right here. The one in the middle of the garden. It's this one right here. He tells his wife, we can't eat it and you better not touch it. What is he thinking? If she doesn't touch it, she can't pick the fruit. If she doesn't pick the fruit, we can't eat it. That's a beautiful fence to protect us from the possibility of falling. And human beings can fall, and I don't want to fall, and my mitzvah is to maintain my level, and therefore I'm going to make a fence and make sure my wife doesn't fall either. Why is it that Adam, I said, you know, the fact that he knows that he could change levels makes him susceptible to sin? Why? He wants to serve Hashem, so I want to go up. Who says I want to go down? Well, the answer is, knowing he could change, he then infused himself into the picture. I'm going to protect myself. I'm capable of making a siyag. I have the free will. I. He starts removing his unquestioning service to Hashem and starts to limit it or restrict it or change it or modify it by what he thinks. And that's dangerous. That's very dangerous. You see, his concept of maybe I'll go down in order to go up, yirida letzorech aliyah, is an acceptable concept in Judaism. However, he didn't realize that he was infusing the I, me, ego, self, into the picture. And that is darkness. Because really, really, it's only what Hashem wants going to happen. And only what Hashem says that we should do. And once you say, I think I'm not at that level. I don't think I can do it. I'm not so sure that's right. Let's ask a different rabbi. Are you sure that's what he said? Because I don't feel, you know what you're saying when you say that? It's up to me to decide what's right. And once you do that, you're in an area of darkness. It's sometimes chukim are much better. You know, don't wear shatnez. Okay. If you decide to do it, you don't do it. But try and figure out why. One of the reasons given, by the way, by the Zohar, is that Cain in this week's parasha brought flax. And Hevel, his brother,
brought wool, sheep. Linen and wool can't go together. It resulted in the first sin of murder. Sounds nice, but I still don't understand it. But either where Shatan is, or I know where Shatan is. It's not something philosophical I can really get into. You know, it's like, it's not subject to discussion. So Chukim sometimes, the much you sprinkle on the third and seventh day, you become pure, you don't sprinkle, you're impure. Well, I don't know what that means. But then when you get into things I can think about, like who's going to tell me how to dress? Come on, we're not Taliban, are we? You don't want me to wear a face mask and a veil, do you? How far you want to go with this sinew thing? I saw this little thumbnail sketch of the collar buttoned over here with the little white collar. I don't wear those collars. I didn't wear those collars since elementary school, little Peter Pan collars with the button closed. And the long sleeves and that nerdy length that they wear the skirts. Too long is no good. Too short is no good. Slit is no good. I can't. Start thinking about it. Start rationalizing. What's the right way to give tzedakah? I don't know. That guy don't look so poor. You start talking about it. I only give to this. I don't give to that. You get into areas where I decide what's right. It's very dangerous. Very dangerous. But that's not where the sin comes from. Now I'm going to tell you where sin comes from. Be very shocked. Especially with a preponderance of ladies here tonight. Sin comes from shopping. You didn't know that? You know what you do when you go shopping? Just looking. When you go to like 5th Avenue and 56th, you know you're not buying that stuff. You're just looking. You're going to go to Fox's to get it. You're not going to buy it in that place, but you're just looking. You want to see what they have. I want to know what's in. I'm curious. Beautiful word in Hebrew for that is sakranut, which in Arabic, sakran means drunk, and I think they go together. I just want to see. You see, when you just want to know, when you're just curious, you get into trouble. It didn't only kill the cat. So many people knew the party was not going to be my kind of party. But I'll go. I'll see who's there. I'll see what I do. And you leave at 11 o'clock. I hope so, because then nobody's there yet. But let's say you leave at 2 o'clock when it's first rolling. You just wanted to see. You wanted to see the ra. You wanted to see it. I'm not going to be involved. Not my style. Listen to this statement. Yesh v'ha'adam gadur mipenei avira. There could be a person fenced in, no possibility of doing a sin. Ach mikol makom, in any event, Mi'unyan hu ladat, I'll blame it on a male. He is curious to find out. Odot mahuto shel acher. What's it like? What are these places like? This club, this party, this drug, this type of behavior. What's it like? What does this food taste like? I just want to know what it's like. V'adibarim anogim l'misariv. It's all around me. That's my environment. I just want to know. I'm curious. Lo amenat la'asot chas v'shalom. I don't want to do it chas v'shalom. Ela l'shem yidi'a ba'alma. It's just general knowledge. I'd like to know. Says Rav Eliyahu Dessa Zecher Tzadik Levracha V'hu petach lachet atzmo. That's the doorway to sin itself. Curiosity didn't only kill the cat, folks. It's gotten every single one of us too many times. If we really saw the truth, we'd know
There's no reason to know about all that other stuff. But we don't see the truth clearly enough because we live in the Olam, the place where things are hidden, especially Hashem and what's right. In fact, Adam's problem was, Hashem said, you see that tree? You know what that tree is? That tree is the knowledge of good and the knowledge of bad. You'll see the difference in that tree. Now he realizes, there is a good and there is a bad. I wonder what the bad is like. I'm all good. I'm goody two shoes. I wonder what the bad's like. They look like they're having so much fun. All those bad people. They're rolling. And I'm bored. I mean, is this all there is? They look like they're having so much fun. I wonder what it's like. I wouldn't do it, of course. But maybe I could visit and take a peek. Once he knew there was a thing called Ra. Once Hashem told him, don't do it. When he felt the curiosity, he decided, I need a fence. I'm not only not going to eat it, I'm not going to touch it. But that independent step of saying, I'm going to go up against the enemy and beat it by putting a fence, he put himself in the battle. And once you're in the battle of test, your chances are very slim. Kol hamusif goreya. Gemara and Sanhedrin. I tell you, all chazals you got to watch. They're simple statements. All who add to the Torah are reducing the effect of the Torah. Hashem said, don't eat it. And he said, don't touch it. It's more than the essential. So why is that fence so much? You know, this question bothered me for many years. It sounds so right. If I don't want to eat it, I say don't touch it. If I don't touch it, I won't eat it. Aren't all the laws of Nidah about separation to keep one away from the other so they won't do the real sin? All those Drabbanans? Doesn't Mukseh keep us away from things we shouldn't be handling on Shabbat so we won't do certain types of labor that are forbidden on Shabbat? There are so many rabbinical ordinances that do keep us away. And doesn't Pirkei Avot say, Asesi Agla Torah, make fences around the Torah? So it seems like a proper fence is okay. But over here the Gemara says, it was Agadeh Yotem in Aikar. It's more than the essential mitzvah itself. But what? How? Well, a person can set up a fence, or the rabbis can set up a fence. Called Nishbalis, for promising, swearing so you won't do something to overcome your own natural inclination. And there's another thing called offense against desire. I got to keep away from it because I can't handle it. You know the things you can't handle? Things I can't handle. I don't know about you. There was once a young man went to Rosh Yeshiva and he said, I have to go home and I'm going to a wedding. And some of the people probably won't be properly dressed and there's a little bit of mixing. But don't worry, you can let me go, I can handle it. So the Rosh Hashiva looked at this nice, young, 20-year-old boy. And he told him, I'm 94 years old, I can't see in one eye, I have trouble going to the bathroom, I have aches and pains in every joint in my body, and I pretty much can't eat, sleep, or do any of the things most people enjoy, and it affects me. It doesn't affect you. You know how dangerous this I is, this gava that we talked about? Sometimes you're doing good. Sometimes you do an act of chesed. It happens to me all the time. I have to admit, I love talking to myself in these places. Did you ever do something really nice, and you go home and you say, I was good today. Very few people would have done what I did today. I remember one time it was a beautiful sunny day in the summertime, and I have a lot of trouble with
beautiful days in the summertime because I can't go out of the house. Very difficult to walk the streets. And I decided to go to the hospital to visit somebody. No, actually, it was a home. Somebody was confined to bed for many years. I went to visit. And when I got back in the car to go home, I said to myself, you know, Hashem must have been looking down what everybody's doing, and he was watching what I was doing. He said, isn't he a good boy? That's gava. Why am I patting myself on the back? I did what I'm supposed to. I'm not so special. But somehow I like what I'm doing good to tell myself I'm doing good. Now, a lot of people hear this, and I've spoken about this before. You're telling us we're all losers, and you're telling us there's no hope, and you're making me feel like there's nothing I can do right. Leave me alone. I know you feel that way right now. I mean, but I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is when you infuse more than desire to do what's right for the sake of Hashem, and you start to pat yourself on the back that I know what's right, and I'm doing what's right, and I know what's good, and I, you're actually walking away from Hashem. When you say, Hashem wants me to do this, and I'm willing to do what Hashem wants, I don't ask questions. It's unconditional what Hashem wants. And he told me the Torah what he wants, and all I have to do is learn it and do it. If you do a fence to protect yourself from falling in that area, that fence is good. But when you say, I got a bright idea how I'm going to stay away from trouble, you're really telling yourself, I'm great. I'm going to get into trouble. That's why it's good to follow the Rabbanan and not make up your own. If a person has a problem, sometimes it's people make a neder. They make a promise because they can't keep away from chocolates. Let's make it nice and sweet. So I'm not eating chocolate for 30 days. It's a neder. It's to protect yourself from your own talent. It may be okay. But better to go to a rabbi and say, Rabbi, I have this problem. What should I do? If he tells you the way to beat this is to break the cycle. First, let's swear it off for 30 days if you can. And then he'll tell you how to word it so you don't get in trouble in case you do eat it, if you break down. But at least you're getting a direction from a higher authority. You're not taking things into your own hands. Says Rav Dessler, Kasher emsi batzmo tasiyag, when Adam HaRishon himself proposed the fence, kedei lehishamer b'fnei hagdalat anochiyuto, in order to overcome his own feeling that he could do what he wants, and he might do what he wants, and therefore he has to protect himself from himself, matza anochiyut makom mekvot et shela, the ego found a place to collect for itself. And his own fence became beloved. It's like Sharon and his fence. He didn't care what the world's not going to build it. He got fell in love with this idea of fence. So Adam himself fell in love. From that itself, he fell into the Baal Tosif. Yes. Always. Adam HaRishon was so great to begin with that if he never infused himself, he could have seen clearly. It's when he thought, when he was exposed, let me finish, I'll get to that point in 1 minute. In 1 minute, I'll get to that point. As soon as he felt, I can add, don't touch. Says Avot Rabbi Natan, which is a version of Pirkei Avot. At that moment, the snake said, I'll go to Chava, I'll work on her. She's not him. She got it secondhand from him. She's more open than him. I'll work on him. I'll get the. And he started his whole plan. From all that we said, and this will help with the question. The problem Ramban says that Adam HaRishon had from the great amount of truth he was able to see because he was a creation of perfect good at the time with evil only outside him and the understanding that there was nothing else in the world except to do what Hashem wants. L'shem Shamayim.
But little ideas entered his mind. What were the ideas? There's a thing called Ra over there. Don't get to know it. Maybe I'd like to know it. I wonder what it's like. Maybe I could beat it. The fact that he knew that that exists and he was curious about it made him touch it. The fact that he touched it, he found out there's no such thing as a little bad. And even if he would have asked at that point, he was already, as we said, mitumtam. He was already impurified. Because he touched concepts he shouldn't have touched. Looking at this deep subject today, most of the day, in between all of my distractions, I kept coming back to it, saying, okay, so now we had a nice shmooze on how Adam HaRishon made a sin, and classes that we come to on Monday night here, some come at 9, some come at 9:05, some come at 9:15, some come at 9:20, but we get here eventually every Monday night. We like to go home with a lesson. After all of this hacky, all of this talk, what do I do? Well, you have to understand one thing. Free will is touted as the greatest ma'ala, the greatest point that distinguishes the human being from all other creations, including angels, right? Anybody know that? Is that new to anybody? Does a horse have free will? Does a star have free will? No. Does an angel have free will? No. Does a human being have free will? Great. That must mean he's great. We're great because we have free will. Isn't that what you're told? Well, I got news for you. It's a trap. It's a trap. Our job in life is to elevate our bechira point, our point of free will, that's our test, each one individually, to the point where you're not a bocher anymore, you're not a chooser, you're a muchrach, you're a must. I must put on tefillin every day. That's not a choice. For some people, it's a problem. Some people do it, some, but I'm talking, I must. When I had a cast on my arm a few months ago, today's my third month anniversary, today's July, October 20th, today's, yeah, okay, today's the third month anniversary, immediately contacted the rabbi the day it happened, just got out of the hospital, I got this thing on, how do I do tefillin? He said, well, if you can get it on the matter, immediately I cut a hole in the thing on the top there so that I could put the box on the muscle and wrapping the straps around without the details of the halakha. But I feel I want to do tefillin. I don't want to miss a day. So that's not really testing. It's not a subject I discuss. Should I put on tefillin today? Shouldn't I put on tefillin today? Our job is to get that way with everything. And whatever your thing is that you find easy, there's certain things you know you can never violate. There's certain people can never eat tarev, there's certain people can never violate Shabbat, there's certain people that can never, there's just, everyone has their own little shtick that they've conquered. There's Baalei Teshuvah that are first on the road, the first thing they conquer, you can't stop them. They're insane, these people. Keep me away. They make you feel like you've been religious all your life. What have you been doing? But when you get to that point, you realize, with that one mitzvah, that's not... I remember talking to someone once, and it was one of my friend's wives, and I said, yeah, you know, it's nice, the house is so nice on Shabbat, that you really elevated this house to be a nice Shemesh. She said, I didn't elevate it. I was brought up this way, Shabbat is Shabbat, I know no other way, the candles are lit, the food is that, the table's set, we live this way, we don't do this, we do that, that's Shabbat. That's not one of her battles. In that area, she's not a bocher, she's not a chooser, she's a muchrach, she must. It's sort of like saying the difference between eneni rotzeh and eneni yachol. I can't or I don't want. Very big difference. I
don't want to eat taref, you might say. But I cannot jump into that fiery furnace. I just can't do it. Could you do it? Some people have guts. Could you jump off a six-story building? Could you do it? Could you do it? Could you do it? You can't. Can you? You don't look that crazy. Can you? You can't. Okay, so you cannot. Well, that's very clear. You cannot. Why is it then that when it comes to... You look in the mirror and you go, you think this is too low? You think this is too short? You think it's too... Now you're on the borderline. Why is that a discussion? Shouldn't be, I can't. It's a fiery furnace. It's actually worse. One only kills your body. The other kills your soul, along with it. But when you reach the point of I can't, you've conquered it. But how many things do you have to do that with? Everything. Our job is to elevate the Bechira point, our point of free will, on every subject of Torah and Mitzvot to the point of Mukhrach. I must do the positives, I can't do the negatives. I don't know. I can't. It's not a matter of I want or I don't want. I can't. Or I must. That's Mukhrach. You see, before anyone commits a sin for the first time, and some of you, unfortunately, like myself, have experienced this, we thought we never could do it. Certain things I can never do. And then you do it. The first time. And the reason you don't do it the first time so quickly is because of conscience, because of education, because of training, because you see that it's wrong. But once the sin falls, the gates open, you can do it again. Much easier. This happens in degrees in some cases, but it always follows again. That's Avera Goreret Avera. What's the solution? You need a solution. Are we in trouble here? I'm in trouble. Spent my whole day battling this. I mean, most things I've done already. So now if the gates are open and it's easy to do because I've done it already, my conscience is not helping me. Well, thank God sometimes we make the Shabbat and we feel ha-harata, we feel like my conscience is bothering me. But the basic idea now is that I want to become someone who has no choice. I must do what's right and I can't do what's wrong. Isn't that what you want, really? Because that's the real truth of the way we're built. And that's where Adam was before he sinned. And then he took this evil into him, mixed it into our genes, and now we're not fighting the outside, we're fighting ourselves. So much so that when the Yetzer that's inside me tells me she looks good, or it looks like it tastes good, or that's something I shouldn't do but I want to do, I really think I'm saying it. I really think I want to do that. But Hashem says in the Pasuk, He created man straight. I don't want to do what He doesn't want me to do. But the Yetzer is inside me and He convinces me that He's me. Instead of a wolf in sheep's clothing, He's a wolf in raiment clothing. In Sarah clothing. In Moshe clothing. In each person, we think He's me. Isn't that scary? I really think I want to do it. But I don't want to do it. It's Him telling me I want to do it inside me. How am I going to beat that? Ha'etza yachida, the only answer. B'matzav hazeh, in this condition, l'itmaseh la'Torah, ul'maaseh ha'mitzvot b'shlemutam, is to subjugate ourselves, as Rabbi Miller would say in his famous tune, to keep all the mitzvot of the Torah as perfectly as we can. Lihitahir kadesh b'yirat shamayim serufa. To spend our time not worrying how we're dressed, but worrying about our yirat shamayim. Not worrying about what we drive, but worrying about our knowledge of Torah. Lihit palel. Oh, what a big, beautiful, beautiful closer. We have to pray to Hashem. For what? שיוציאו ממחשכי הבחירה,
to take me out of the darkness, the confusion of free will, אל מדרגה מזוכחת ומצורפת, in a pure state, a level where I can join my heart and soul to the service of Hashem. I'm going to read that in Lashon HaKodesh, quote from Rabbi Dassler.
Ha'etza ha'yechida b'matzav hazehi, the only suggestion in a condition that we are in now after the sin, le'itmaseh le'torah u'maseh ha'mitzvot v'shnei mutan, to subjugate, turn ourselves over the Torah and to the performance of mitzvot in their perfection. Lehitaher, to purify. Lehitkadesh, to sanctify ourselves by Yirat Shamayim Shirafam, pure Yirat Shamayim. And lehitpalel el Hashem, to pray to God, Shiyotzi'eu imachashcheh bechira, take me out of the twilight zone, the cloudiness of free will, where I don't know what I want to do, because I think I want to do and I don't know what to do. El madrega mezuchechet umsurefet, a clear, pure level, the level at which niyached et debavenu babototo yiparach, we can unify our heart to the service of Hashem. That's the job. Not free will, not choice, no choice, but to do what He wants and to avoid what He wants me to avoid. And you got to pray for that. You got to study it, work on Yirat Shamayim through books of Musar, and finally pray to Hashem to help you do it. And we can do it. Because if He asks us to do it, we can do it. We're not curious anymore about what the other guys do. We only want to know what He wants, and we can do it. And that's tonight's lesson. See you next week.